Welcome, everybody, to the Sun on the Strip podcast. This is Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I am here every Wednesday to bring you the latest in entertainment news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I was on vacation last week, so sorry about that, but now I'm back. And as usual, I've got some good news and some bad news. Good news is another mega resort reopening next week after shuttering in March with everything else, but that's not good enough news to overcome the very, very bad news, which is that La Rev, the aquatic spectacular that has been running for 15 years at Wynn Las Vegas, has become the first large-scale production show to close permanently due to the coronavirus pandemic. Wynn Las Vegas made this unhappy announcement on Friday, and I wrote about it for the Las Vegas Sun. I've written a new column about it, kind of exploring what this means for the very uncertain entertainment and show scene on the Strip. That is coming out on Thursday in Las Vegas Weekly magazine, and you can read it at lasvegasweekly.com. La Rev was one of the biggest and most expensive shows on the Strip, and definitely one of the most popular productions, I'm going to say ever, in the history of Las Vegas. I've seen it, I think, three times. The last time I got to see it, I was lucky enough to take it in from what is called the dream seating. It's kind of VIP at the top of the theater in the round setup, and you have a screen in front of you that is giving you behind the scenes live feed of what's happening under the water tank during the show, as well as up above the area where the acrobats descend from, and they do that crazy 80-foot high dive from. So to be able to watch what's going on behind the scenes while you're watching the show live in front of you, it was an amazing experience, one of the most unique show experiences I've ever had in Las Vegas. I'm definitely going to miss this show, and want to send out my thanks and my appreciation to the dozens of cast and crew and creative folks that made La Rev happen so many times over the years, thousands of shows. Definitely will be missed. A huge, huge loss for the Vegas entertainment scene. Mirage is going to be the resort that will reopen next. That's going to happen on August 27th. This will mean that MGM Resorts will only have one property on the Strip that has not reopened. That's Park MGM. Among the amenities that will be reopening with the Mirage are the Bear Pool Lounge, Tom Colicchio's Heritage Steak Restaurant, Osteria Costa, the Italian seafood restaurant, The Pantry, popular breakfast spot, Rum Bar, one of my all-time favorite indoor-outdoor cocktail bars on the Strip, The Still, which is a sports bar, and the Secret Garden and Dolphin Habitat. All of that stuff and more will be reopening at the Mirage next week. My interview this week is with a sword swallower. That's right. Not just any sword swallower, but the one who is currently blowing up on America's Got Talent. His name's Brett Loudermilk. You may have seen him perform in Las Vegas in Vegas Nocturne, or more recently at Opium. Both Spiegelworld productions, both have happened at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. Brett is hilarious and multi-talented, and this is a really fun conversation that I think you're going to enjoy. He has reached the semifinal round of America's Got Talent, which continues to soldier on despite the fact that, like everything else, there's no audience in the crowd for the tapings of the popular NBC talent competition show. But that hasn't stopped Brett from making an impact and really impressing and connecting with the judges. He's going to talk all about that. He's had some pretty funny exchanges with Sofia Vergara. He's just a cool guy. So enjoy my conversation this week with Brett Loudermilk.
So I used to write a lot about food and restaurants in Las Vegas. And of course, I've interviewed many, many chefs who have gone on competition shows like Chopped or Top Chef, stuff like that. And it always seems like a difficult choice to do TV because obviously you want to compete and the exposure can really boost your career in a lot of different ways. But also chefs have that artistic side to what they do. And there's a lot of stuff that they just don't want to be compromised, I guess. Do you see some similarities with that and with being a performer going on America's Got Talent?
Yes, I do, actually. So the way a chef does their thing, like a chef is, they go and they create their restaurant. Like the goal is to create their own restaurant and have their own menu and have mm-hmm. that control over everything. And I think a lot of variety artists and circus performers and things like that, we would have a skill. And then a show comes along and goes, oh, we want that skill in our show. Do it this way. I think a lot like Cirque du Soleil. You know what I mean? They put the face paint on you. They do this. They put you in a crazy costume and make you look like a lizard. All that stuff. And that's something that I, as a performer, I've never had to deal with. Because I'm a performer with a voice. And I go out there and I'm me. And I interact with people. And there's really only one way to be me. So when I'm in a show, it's typically the show going, okay, well, we want you in the show. How do we, like, maybe we'll put you in a crazy costume, but you're still going to get to be you. Mm-hmm. Right? So I've had a lot of artistic merit over the, like, I've been able to do kind of what I want and play by my own rules for my whole performing career. And, I guess long story longer, in AGT, they're kind of just letting me do whatever I want. You know, I went in to audition with my sword swallowing act and it was derailed by Sofia Vergara in the most beautiful way. You know, she would not cooperate and I couldn't have been more excited about it. Because I thrive on that chaos. And then, you know, I'm like, okay, good, that's over with. So she's going to go sit down. And now I can go back into that material that I know works. I know where the laughs are. I know the pacing of it. And then Simon Cowell interrupts me mid-flow and goes, I'm sorry, excuse me, can I pull a sword out of you? And it didn't make the edit, but I looked at him and I said, oh, as if I have nothing else planned, let's just do what Simon wants to do. And so I was like, yeah, sure, come on stage. So he comes up and I had to basically rewrite the ending of my act. And the ending of my act is typically swallowing three swords at once. But there, I had this interesting opportunity of having just three judges on the panel. Heidi Klum had been sick that day. So as Simon was going up, I thought to myself, oh, wait, I'm going to, instead of just swallowing one sword and having him pull it out, which I just did, I'm going to swallow three and have the three judges take turns pulling them out. So I brought them all up on stage and, I just admitted, you know, I don't know what I'm doing right now. This is all by the seat of my pants. Let's see what happens. This has never been done before. And, you know, they love that. So I line them up and I instruct them on what to do. I'll swallow the three swords and then I'll just kind of scoot down the line. And when I get to you, pull your sword out. So I did that. Standing ovation. Everybody was super excited. And, yeah, I haven't workshopped an ending to that story, but that's that.
No, it is. you know, there's a lot of great performances on America's Got Talent. That's what the show is all about. But not everybody interacts with the judges the way that you did. Obviously, you did develop this fun dynamic with Sofia Vergara. And as you kind of implied, you, as a performer, you thrive on that kind of interaction. So that stuff really
plays
your advantage.
Yeah. Absolutely. If I can get somebody on stage and create conflict immediately, I am happy as a clam. I love it because they're out of that. There's an outrageousness that comes from the fact that I'm a contestant. I'm a lucky auditioner to be on this show, AGT, that's super revered. And I'm going to be performing in front of these judges who are revered for their critiques of talented people. And I can come out and go, yeah, I don't really care. I don't care about your critiques. And we're just people. So let's be people and do this ridiculous thing that I'm an expert at and you're not. And that makes a fun dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. And I've been able to see your performance live a few times now in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned to you previously, something very rare happened during the last time that I saw you. I go see all the shows in Las Vegas. And very rarely have I been directly involved with the show. But the last time that we saw you, you pulled my wife on stage. And she got to participate, and she was very freaked out, I have to say. but she just talking with her today about it, she said the thing that she remembers the most is how anxious she felt, not about being on stage in front of people, but she was worried that she was going to hurt you pulling the sword out, that felt very real for her. And that's not the case. You know, you go on stage during a magician's act to help them do a card trick. You might be nervous because there's a bunch of people around or that you're going to mess up the trick, but you're not worried that you're going to wound the performer. So is that a pretty common, is that a pretty common reaction for you? Do people say that to you a lot?
It is, you know, performer friends of mine are astounded that I allow other people to pull swords out of me. And I guess at the end of the day, it's kind of a stupid thing to do, especially in a town like Las Vegas, where you're getting every walk of life in all sorts of states of inebriation on stage. And, you know, I've had some close calls. I've been very, very lucky. And I like to think that I am well enough equipped to either detect a potential problem before it happens or to stop a problem as it's happening. And I've had a couple close calls, but nothing too crazy. But what your wife was feeling is totally legit and totally valid. She has the potential of causing great harm in that moment. And the way I've constructed the act, like people listening to this, they probably wouldn't have a frame of reference for what exactly is going on. But typically when I bring somebody up on stage, I'm pretty acerbic and will often insult them before I let them pull the sword out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to bet I brought your wife on stage and I probably complimented her on the fine drapes she was wearing, or the tablecloth she was wearing, or just something silly like that. Where I give them a punch, and then I go, okay, I've insulted you, but now in front of all of these people, I'm putting my life in your hands, and kind of saying I'm sorry. You know what I mean? By allowing you to make a decision whether or not I get hurt or I stay okay.
Yep, that's what happened. It's a very interesting line of work that you've chosen for yourself. How did this happen? How did this become your performance of choice? What led you down this path?
So I, you know, I often will look at where I am in life and go, who did I lie to get here? Like, what is this situation I found myself in? Like, I'm a keynote speaker at an event being introduced by Nelson Mandela's grandson. Why is that happening? I'm a sword swallower. It makes no sense. But I've been very lucky in that regard. You know, I did not enjoy school. I was interested in magic when I was a little kid. And I learned about carnival sideshows, circus sideshows, when I was very young. And I learned how to hammer a nail up my nose. So when I learned how to hammer a nail up my nose, that kind of unlocked this new world for me. It's like, okay, I'm into magic tricks, but magic tricks involve sleight of hand and deception and all this stuff to create the illusion of a miracle. But with these weird arcane stunts, it's just kind of what you see is what you get. You know, it's just a little bit of knowledge of anatomy or a little bit of physics knowledge. Just all these different tricks that are physically possible, but things that most people would deem impossible. You know, a lot of people think sword swallowing is fake because they've gagged on something before. They've choked on something before. So in their mind, well, that's impossible. I can't do it. You know what I mean? I when I brush my tongue, I'll gag on the toothbrush. The thing is, so do I, but I have trained myself to be able to turn the gag reflex on and off. I think I have derailed from your original question.
That's okay. I'm enthralled. I'm going with this derailment.
Oh, good. Good. Let's go with it. Let's go with it. I haven't slept in 3 days. This is perfect. I'm in the middle of writing a new piece for AGT right now, you know, and it's like, well, you know, trying to, you know, create that story of like, okay, I started with Sophia. Who do I end up with? I saw it when I was a kid. I thought, this is what I want to do. I I'm not interested in school. I want to be a performer. How do I do that? And the way I did that, maybe it wasn't the smartest way of doing it, but it certainly worked out for me, was I dropped out of high school when I was 17. I moved to New York City and started street performing the day I got there. I made no money that day. Very quickly kind of learned how to gather a crowd and how to ask them for money and be charming and all that stuff. I mean, the way I would build an audience is I would gather a couple people and then, you know, in New York City, everyone is going somewhere. No one's just kind of aimlessly walking around. Everybody's on a mission. So stopping people in that city is not easy. So somebody would walk past me and I'd say, hey, you know, I'm about to do a show. Come watch. And they ignore me and they keep walking. I've got maybe 3 or 4 people already standing by, ready to see what I'm there to do. But I would often follow the person that ignored me. And I would perform in Union Square, which is right across the street from a really big Whole Foods. And I would chase them across the street to the Whole Foods and like grab them by the wrist and try to drag them back to where I was doing my show. And I would get in a fight with this person. And it would be a screaming match. And then other people would gather with that same initial group of people that had already decided to watch me. So I would gather a crowd by fighting with somebody. And when I would escalate it as much as I could until I got a big enough crowd to go, okay, I'll start my show. So I developed this weird kind of punk attitude of, you know, everyone is equal. There's no higher status or lower status person. It's just I'm crazy and I want your attention and I will do anything for it. And it doesn't matter who you are. I want there to be an element of danger for my audience. Like, I want people to sit there and watch me and think, oh my God, he could pick me. He could say something to me and everyone's going to laugh at me. Oh my God, what's going to happen next? I'm just a you know, high school dropout trying to make people laugh.
Well, that, all that effort that has led you to this point is very reassuring to hear, because in this time right now, especially in Las Vegas, where entertainment is not, you know, allowed to happen the way that it normally is, I think it's going to take people like you who have, you know, trained yourselves to, you know, against all odds, do what you do and attract crowds and stuff like that. I think that's kind of the same kind of mentality that it's going to take for Las Vegas to get back up on its collective performing feet, right? We need people like you to do that.
I would hope so. You know, it's a really weird time right now. You know, I am in the middle of the biggest talent competition in the world, and there are millions of people watching every week, and I get messages from people every day saying that what I'm doing is inspiring and stuff like that. And as nice as it is to receive, it's hard to accept, because in my mind, I'm this kid that has somehow made his way onto this big platform and is doing this crazy thing. And I'm not really, I haven't accepted it yet, but if I were to listen to all the kind things that people are saying and writing to me about being inspired to go off and do something that they've dreamt of doing, I think that there's a big takeaway there. And I think that after this show is over, after this season of America's Got Talent comes to a close and they name a winner, which let's just say it's me for the sake of this conversation. Once they name the winner, there's the potentiality of there still not being any live entertainment in the United States. So what do we do? You know, is it about performing in drive-in movie theaters? Is it trying to find a workaround or a loophole of the laws that are designed to keep us safe? Like, is that ethic? Is that like moral? Like, you know what I mean? There's so many questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I'm hoping for is a vaccine, because that'll speed things along. But until then, it's like, I'm not going to stop. Like, I'll still be, you know, a presence online and doing what I can to make people laugh, like by, you know, communicating to them through their phones, or their, you know, their screens, their devices, whatever it is. It's a very strange time to be alive. And it's a very strange time to be a non-essential worker. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, the clown that swallows swords ain't essential.
Unless, I would argue, that person is operating in Las Vegas, where all these unessential, non-essential things are the most essential thing.
That is true. That is actually a very strong point. I don't drink or gamble. So being in Vegas is a kind of a funny town to be in for me. But walking through a casino after they've reopened and knowing that the people there have nothing to do other than lose money is really interesting. I don't know how long that model can survive, you know? Yeah. I mean, I hope it can survive long enough for things to get back on their feet. You know, Le Rev is closed. Le Rev did not survive this. You know, hopefully Cirque can recover from the crazy things that are happening to them right now. You know, I know that Spiegelworld is a small, scrappy company that can beat the odds, but you know, we'll see. There's so much to be decided, to be determined.
As far as AGT goes, you've made it through to the semifinals, and we'll see you back on the show again in a few days or weeks time from right now.
Yeah. It'll be a few weeks.
What's the plan? You're always got to come up with something new, but how are you feeling heading into this? The path has narrowed down. There's only a few people left, though. How are you feeling about it?
So by the semifinals, there will be 20 of us. And so 5 have already been chosen. 5 more will be chosen tomorrow. But this will be coming out on a Wednesday, so that means they will be chosen today, the day that you're able to listen to this. But yeah, so 20 people will be narrowed down to 10. And there's a lot of really incredible, talented people in this season. I would hope that I am among the top 10. So I'm going to do my best. You know, I think what I have to do is surprise everybody, because I came on the show as a sword swallower. And typically when you think of a sword swallower, you don't think of a funny person. And so right off the bat, I made people laugh. And now, you know, this last appearance, the quarterfinals episode, I added a little bit of magic into my act. So now I'm a sword swallower that happens to be funny, that happens to do magic. So, you know, is there another corner that I can turn? It's, you know, one of the rules of magic is not revealing your secrets. And I kind of apply that to showmanship. I don't want to show my hand at this point. You know, I think I've got some really exciting things coming up, but it's just about keeping everybody on their toes.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thank you for listening. Extra special thanks to Brett Loudermilk. Be sure to tune in to America's Got Talent so you can cheer him on and vote for him. That's on NBC. He's going to be back on in a week or two. And you can also find out more about him at brettloudermilk.com. You can find past episodes of this podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcasts, or you can listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. I will be here next Wednesday. Hope to see you then.